Welcome to In Christ, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel in Lubbock, Texas, with pastor and teacher Ben Martinez.
Listen, this is this quote. The next time you feel moved with indignation about something, ask yourself if you're upset because there's a spiritual violation or merely because someone is getting ahead of you in some way. I like that quote. Why am I upset? Why am I upset that a coworker is being promoted? Is God God or not? Does he not know what you need when you need it?
Welcome back to In Christ Radio as we continue verse by verse through the Gospel of Mark. Today we're in chapter 10, verses 32 through 44 with the message titled, What Do You Want Me to Do For You? As Jesus and his disciples make their way to Jerusalem, he walks ahead with determination, knowing the cross is just ahead. He begins to tell his disciples the things that would happen to him, his suffering, death, and resurrection. And he never brings up his suffering and death without the resurrection. But while Jesus speaks of sacrifice, James and John approach him with ambition. They say, We want you to do for us whatever we ask. They request the seats of honor in his glory, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus gently answers, You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup I drink? He uses their request as a teaching moment for all. Greatness in God's kingdom is not found in power, but in serving. Whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. The question Jesus asked them, What do you want me to do for you? Still reaches into our hearts today. Are we seeking position and comfort? Or are we asking for the strength to follow him wherever he leads? As we follow along with Pastor Ben, let's take a heart check and ask ourselves, if Jesus asked you that question today, What do you want me to do for you? Would your answer reflect the desire for glory or a heart surrendered to serve? So if you can, grab your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 10 as we go through verses 32 through 44 in today's message titled, What Do You Want Me to Do For You?
In Christ, I have his righteousness. In Christ, I have what I confess. In Christ, I don't worry about all the rest. 'Cause everything I need to be in Christ.
Now, think about this. This is just one of those think abouts. Let's just think about it. Let's fast forward just a little bit, okay? So here the guys is like, Lord, yes, mama's doing it the whole nine yards. You know that. I have to go back. And they said, can we sit on your right hand and your left? He goes, you don't know what you're talking about, but you will one day. And then fast forward to the cross. What do they see? Tell me what they see, guys. They're asking for a place of honor. And when Jesus is crucified, two other men were crucified. Which where? On the right and on the left. You talk about a reality check. I wonder if they went and said, zip it, zip it. I wonder if they put two and two together and said, man, James, come here, we really don't know what we were talking about. We really didn't know what we were asking. We don't know what we're asking. And honestly, what a great point, a great principle for us to take home today. You go, why? Well, so often we don't know what we ask. You go, what do you mean? Well, there are times, to be honest with you, that we might say, Lord, please, I love her. Help this relationship work out. And he doesn't. And you break up, and then you walk around going, my heart is broken. But he doesn't because it was the very best thing for you. We ask, Lord, please, 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 please. And the Lord's like, no. I can see in the future, this is not a good thing. You don't understand what you're asking for. We've all done that, church. I can't tell. We'd spend the rest of our time if I told you all of the dumb things I asked for that I thought God was holding out on me. I can't tell you all the times I was hurt thinking God didn't hear my prayers when all of a sudden now I look back and go, oh, thank God. Oof. You really saved me from that one, Lord. Think about this. Natalie and I were newly married. We've been married for a while, newly, whatever. And it wasn't long, but I remember I had applied for this job at a bank, and I always wanted to work at a bank. I always thought I was good at a bank, and my friend was he was one of the uppers in the bank, and he said, yeah, we got a position, and I'm thinking, cool, I want to get out of the retail side of that because I'm working a lot of hours, and I just want to get established in a bank, and I remember, and they said, oh, we got you an interview, so I went to the interview, and I just like you know, and I tried my best. And I remember thinking, this is it, man. Man, banker's hours, the bank, this is going to be good. We'll be established. This is great. And I didn't get the job. You go, oh, poor you. Had I got the job, I wouldn't be here in Lubbock. And see, God looked way in my future. He goes, no, Ben, I know you want this. I know you're praying to me, but I've got a plan for you. Trust me. And when I didn't get the news, I remember I was like, God, just get me a job. I can't believe this. And I was just like the disciples. Just to encourage you, when Ethel and I started out 37 years ago, we had just had Talia, we had just had Miranda, and we were looking for a bigger home. Now, again, back in those days, we just didn't have the money, so we had to start off small, and so we decided to go find a mobile home. We had a mobile home. It was small, but we wanted a little bit bigger mobile home. And I remember we would go and we'd look, and there was something going on with my credit, and they're like, yeah, you know, you're young. You guys had just started out. how about you get a cosigner? And I was like, man, I've got two kids. What am I going to do? So I called my father-in-law, said, hey, listen, these are your grandkids, dude. No, I didn't say that. I said, hey, could you help us cosign? And he's like, yeah, I'll do whatever it takes, which is surprising to me. And then so we went back, said, yeah, my father-in-law said, he said he'll cosign. So he filled out the paperwork. Then they came back and they said, hey, dude, the cosigner's not going to work. He needs to buy it for you. And then you could just pay it, but he'll be the owner. And at that point, I looked at my wife and said, no, we can't do this. This is not, I feel like we're kicking down a door. I said, no, we're not going to have that. And a few weeks later, we jumped in the car and we took my mother-in-law and we went to Albuquerque because we were going to look at mobile homes. And I remember telling my wife, don't get your hopes up. I mean, there might be something, don't get your hopes up because I'm just discouraged. And then we found this beautiful mobile home that she wanted, everything. She wanted an island. She wanted a bay window as everything. And I just even got more discouraged because I was like, man, I can't give my wife anything. What is wrong with you? And so we filled out the paperwork and we went home. That was a Saturday. And on Wednesday, I got a call at work and they said, congratulations, where do you want your new mobile home? I was like, no cosigner? No, it's you. We got you. So the Lord did something because he had something better. But I was praying for those other things, thinking that was the best for me. And so that's the point here. God says, hold on. No. It might be no because I have something better for you. Something better. Now, before we move on, I draw your attention to verse 41. You go, why is that? Because when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. Can you imagine? You did what? As a matter of fact, it says this. They were moved with indignation. They were mad. They were upset. It's like, you did what? Hey, man, we're supposed to be a band of brothers. We're supposed to be family. And you're going behind our back and saying that you want the top leadership position. Who do you think you are? They were greatly upset. But I guess we have to ask why. Why were they so upset? Why were they so upset? Well, let me give you two reasons, okay? Let me just give you two reasons. We know they're human. You go, amen. So maybe they were upset because they were trying to get the jump on the good seats in the kingdom. You ever do that? Oh, man, I should have thought of that. Oh, and that's how we are, aren't we? Aren't we? Let me ask you this. This has nothing to do with our text, but how many of you are professional procrastinators? You have the gift of procrastination. And it's like, I have the gift of, and I lose out on it. It's like, look, here's a good deal. Yeah, but it might be a better deal. And so I'll wait. And then this deal goes away. And I'm like, ah, I wonder if they were procrastinators. I wonder if they're like, well, you know, they might've been talking about it, right? Because they were all on the road talking about who's the greatest, who's going to be the greatest thing. And these guys are like, let's get mom over there, you know, and she'll tell us. But I wonder if they were just upset because they didn't think of it. I wonder. You go, Ben, it doesn't say. Nope, it doesn't say. I wonder if they thought the sons of Zebedee had a better social position than most of the guys, and this is an attempt to secure a preeminence of honor kindled with a storm of jealousy. Oh, well, I'm not going to say anything because James and John, they come from a wealthy family. They deserve it. I'm not. It's silly. But I want you to listen. Can I see that quote of a pastor friend of mine up there? Listen. This is this quote, right? The next time you feel moved with indignation about something, ask yourself if you're upset because there's a spiritual violation or merely because someone is getting ahead of you in some way. I like that quote. Why am I upset? Why am I upset that a coworker is being promoted? Is there a spirit? No. Oh, I should have gotten that. Is God God or not? Does he not know what you need when you need it? And sometimes we think a promotion is going to be a good thing when it in fact takes you away from church. We think, oh, if I could just get 25 cents more an hour, I'd be good. Really? Back to our text, church. Mark chapter 10, verse 42. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that those are considered rulers over the Gentiles, lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, yet it shall not be so among you. Why, Lord? But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever, notice, of you desires to be first shall be a slave of all. Now, verse 45 is going to jump into that, but that's going to be happening next week. So what is Jesus saying here? He says, if you, Calvary Chapel Lubbock, want to be great, don't seek to be first. What does he say? He says, Calvary, seek service. If you want to be great, serve. Serve. Everybody should be serving in one capacity or another. Don't say, well, who's praying for me? Who cares about me? Instead, say, who can I serve? Who can I pray for? That's what we should be doing. You can't believe how many people are offended by the church because they feel like the church hasn't reached out to them. Well, I haven't been there. Nobody's called me. Well, who are you calling? Who are you serving? It's not about us. Now, let me say this. If God puts it on your heart, knocks it, hey, you know what? You haven't seen your brother. Check on him. I'm not talking about a welfare check. Let's check on our brothers. Let's check on our, how you doing? You okay? But I'm just saying that you and I need to realize that we died. And so what happens is that we need to go, who can I serve? Who can I pray for? Who can I pray for? Listen, the way you feel when people treat you like a slave is a good indication of how you're doing in the arena of servanthood. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. You go, what's that? Everybody wants to be a servant until you're treated like one. In the church, we lift up, sir. Oh, good job. Amen. But if you start being treated like a servant, oh, don't they know? I'm Pastor Ben didn't say anything about me cleaning the bathroom. I don't understand. I'm not doing this. That's not our hearts, guys. That's not the heart of Christ. The heart of Christ goes, man, you know what? I'm called to love and serve people. What can I do? What can I do? You go, well, I can't do much. Can you pray? Can you pray for people? Pray for people. Prayer goes a long way. God, please, please, please. I love that in this last portion of scripture, guys, that Jesus teaches such a powerful lesson on leadership and humility. Leadership and humility. He emphasizes that true greatness in his kingdom is achieved through willing service to others rather than seeking power and authority over them. If you want to influence somebody, serve them. Serve them. At work, serve them. Man, how is the kingdom going to grow? When we serve people. Why would you do that? Why would you come and help me? Why would you? Because I love Jesus. I've got a bunch of friends, but you're the only one who stepped up to help me. Why? I love Jesus. Wow, that impacted me. That impacted me. The kingdom is achieved through you guys. Willing to serve and love and die to self. Isn't that the hardest thing to do, church? Die to self? Because I wake up and I'm like, I want and I want and I want and I want. And it's like, no, Ben, that's not my kingdom. My kingdom is, what are you going to do? How can you reach people for me? It's more than just in this building. It's taking what you learned today and applying it to the people that you serve. You serve. If you're a boss in here, if you're an owner, a boss, whatever it might be, serve your employees. Watch what'll happen. They'll be loyal and loving because they don't ever have a boss that serves them. As we close our study, we close for today, let me remind you some key points, some good takeaways that we can take with us, okay? In verses 32 through 34, Jesus tells his disciples that he's going to Jerusalem to die. We know that. In verses 35 to 44, James and John want to leave positions, or they want to have positions of status in God's kingdom, making the other disciples jealous, or in fact, indignant. But Jesus reminds them that greatness comes by service. You go, okay, Ben, what are our takeaways? What are our takeaways? You ready? Number one, we are what? We are called, everybody say called, to love and serve people. That's what we're called to do. We walk with others through the most difficult times. That's what we're called to do. To rejoice when others are blessed. Do you rejoice when others are blessed? When someone says, hey, we got a brand new house. Praise God. How can we serve you? How can we help you? Or do we secretly go, I don't know why they get a house. I don't have a house. I'm just renting and God, you don't love me. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to love and serve people. Number two, we should ask what we can do for God in terms of life and ministry. What can we do? Not coming asking God, what can he do for us? This is a good sign of spiritual maturity, that you're going, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You see, every one of us is called into the ministry. I'm here just to equip you, but you're called. And so he might knock on your heart and say, I want you to go to the hospital. I want you to pray for people. That's not my job. That's Pastor Ben's job. No, it's your job. God's calling you. Oh, and here's, you ready? I'm at permission to step on toes. We all have our list of what we're going to do. Oh, Lord, I've got a lot to do. Hey, I want you to get rid of the list and I want you to do that. What? I've got somebody I want you to be. But Lord, I have a list. I'm going to do this and do this and do this and do this. Okay, put that down for a minute. We can do that tomorrow. No, I can't do that tomorrow because that's going to back me up. I have a list. Lord, don't you see I have a list? I've got to do the things. And he goes, no, because I want you to stand on your head at a convenience store. Because somebody just prayed that if I really love him, my children will come and stand on their head. Well, Lord, I got a list. And so we got to be willing, guys, to say, Lord, okay, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to do. Our goal is to know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. And we should rejoice, not in the sufferings or the shame, but rejoice that we're identified with Christ. Can I get an amen? Father, we thank you today for your word and the truth in your word. Father, that's our anthem today. What do you want us to do, Lord? You've done so much for us. You've saved us. You've sanctified us. You've blessed us. And so, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where can I be of service to you? Even today, Lord, what restaurant should I go to? Lead me to a server that needs to hear about you. Lord, later on when we're busy or we're outside or we're at the park or whatever it might be, help us to share. Lord, many are going to mock us. Many in our own city who claim Christianity will mock us because of the zealousness we have for you. And they'll want us to calm down and they'll want us to just remain in the status quo, not to, but you're calling us to be a servant. And so, Lord, we just rejoice today in identifying with you. We rejoice today that we're here and that you've blessed us and that you love us. And we thank you. Father, today, not everybody knows you. And maybe somebody's come here today, Lord, that they feel far from you. And throughout the Bible study, you've been knocking on them and you're lovingly saying that it's time for them to come home. And that you've got an amazing plan for their life and that they're going to make it through. But Lord, they've been running from you. And like Jonah, they're running away, but you've brought them here. And I pray through the power of your Holy Spirit that if there's anyone here that needs to be saved, that needs to have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that without it, Lord, they're going to spend eternity, Lord, apart from you in a place of torment. And all it's really simple, it's just listening to the precious Spirit knocking on their heart. And so with every eye closed and every head bowed, I wonder if there's anyone here that is saying, Pastor Ben, you're talking about me. I don't think I'm right with God. I don't know if I were to die today that I would go to, I don't know. And a friend invited me to church and here I am and you were saying some things. But then you said that I'm far from God, and that's how I feel, Lord. I feel like I'm so far from God that He doesn't even listen to me, and I pray and it goes nowhere. But you're telling me that if I surrender today, that God can come and live inside me and give me a new life and turn a new leaf, and I could be saved and I could have eternal life. Yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you. But you got to be willing to do it. You go, Ben, what do I have to do? Well, I want to pray for you first. So the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is just lift up your hand in just a minute. Just lift up your hand. Now, I know we had a couple of people last week do that. So if you've already done that, you go, amen. But if you're here and let me just clarify it this way. If you're here and you have never given your life to Jesus, today's the day. But if you're here today and you go, I think I did, but I'm not sure. I feel like I've backslid, and then today's the day. The goal for us, guys, is to see that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life for eternity. But it's not up to the pastor or the preacher behind the pulpit. It's up to you. You've got to search your heart. Ask the Lord, am I right with you? Do I have a relationship with you? Am I saved? If you want to get a little bit deeper, ask the Lord, if I die, would I go to heaven? And if you get that question like, I don't know, then today's your day. So with every eye closed, every head bowed, nobody looking around, how many of you would say to me, Pastor Ben, pray for me. I want to receive Jesus. I want to come home. I want to come home. Would you just lift up your hand now and I can pray for you? If you're not saved and you don't have a relationship with God for some reason or another, then all you have to do, why do I have to lift up my hand? Because I want God to see your heart. If you've prayed this prayer last week, you don't have to pray it again. It's not an every week thing. If you prayed this prayer before, it's okay. We just need to talk to you. But if you've never done this before, then today's the day. If you're backslidden and you're far from God, you can lift up your hand today too. Pastor Ben, pray for me. Father, I thank you for all that you're doing. I pray for those watching online. I pray for those that may be lifting their hand on the radio. Whatever it takes, God. Because we're called to love and serve people, and we want to see people served and on their way to heaven. I thank you for this beautiful group of people who are saved. They're fully devoted followers of Christ. And so, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, help us to walk out those doors here in a few minutes and to be the hands and feet of Jesus in Lubbock. And so, Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Christ.
That was Pastor Ben Martinez in the Servant King series, a verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark. As Pastor Ben reiterates time after time, the message of Mark's Gospel is captured in a single verse. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Chapters 10, verse 45. Chapter by chapter, the book unfolds the dual focus of Christ's life, service and sacrifice. Mark portrays Jesus as a servant on the move, instantly responsive to the will of the Father. By preaching, teaching, and healing, he ministers to the needs of others, even to the point of death. After the resurrection, he commissions his followers to continue his work in his power, servants following in the steps of the perfect servant. As we walk through this gospel together, may we be challenged to follow Jesus with boldness, serve with humility, and proclaim the good news with passion. So join us next time as we continue in the Gospel of Mark.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com. Simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.
In Christ, I have His righteousness. In Christ, I have what I